Welcome to the Compass Church podcast and thanks for tuning in. We hope that you enjoy the message that you're about to hear.
How good is that? That's a snapshot of some of what we've done this year and how amazing our youth are. We love each and every single one of them and you guys are amazing and you each have so many talents and gifts and you hear from God in such amazing ways. So we love it. We have the privilege of leading the youth of this church. So we love it. Now, there's some terms and conditions here as we are speaking. You are allowed to be energetic. You are allowed to yell, shout, not here. But we do want some energy. So if you like something, you're allowed to nod your head. You're allowed to go, mm-hmm. You're allowed to say, ooh. Any of the above. If I hear a few oohs, I'll be, Yeah? Yeah? You're still dead. Still dead. Pretty sure it says somewhere in the Bible that God's word is alive and we're to be joyous and full of energy and full of faith and yeah. Put that in your toast in the morning. So, we're going to tag team this morning, myself and my lovely wife. So, as a youth this year, we've been doing something called Road Trip. So we are working our way through the Old Testament up to the New Testament. And we're highlighting different people as we kind of journey through. So starting through Adam and Eve, through Abraham, Moses, Noah, everybody. We're working through. And as a team, we've kind of highlighted that there's a particular person, Elijah. Everybody might know Elijah. He's a prophet in the Old Testament. Now, we did this as a youth, and there's so much that we could pull out of the story of Elijah. And what we're going to share today isn't just our thoughts, isn't just the leader's thoughts and revelation, but it's also from a lot of the youth. Because believe it or not, God speaks to the young as well as the old, as well as everybody in between. So it's not exclusive to who hears from God, and these guys get such amazing revelation, and as they share to us, we're like mind's blown of how they hear from God. So we get to showcase some of that this morning. So to give a little bit of background, who is Elijah? He's a prophet. He was purposed by God to bring the nation back to God. This was about 100 years had passed since ancient Israel, since King David was around, who had set a high standard of faithfulness and integrity in serving the one and true God. Now, a wicked king named Ahab did more to provoke God to anger than all the kings of Israel who had come before him. So he's a bit of a naughty man. Now, Elijah is famous for a few stories of the oil and the wheat and the flour with the widow. That's Elijah. And there's also a great story, and I encourage you to read it in 1 Kings, of Elijah and the altars. And it's a boss story. It's amazing. If you've got kids, you've got little ones, read it to them how God came through in such an amazing way of one altar to Baal and all the people worshipping that, and Elijah over here with his altar, and he puts water on his altar. No fire for them. Water on the altar. Boom. God sends fire. So it's an amazing story. If you haven't read it, get on it. So Elijah was a bit of a boss. He's an awesome guy. He knew who he was and whose he was. Because you hear Elijah speak and you read some of the words. He was a bold dude. He was confident in what he said. But it's because he knew where his words came from. So, and he spoke with such authority, but humbly and respectfully. He was a very humble man. We learned humility from Elijah. So I'm going to read from 1 Kings 18, 41 to 45. And Elijah said to Ahab, "Go, eat and drink, for there is a sound of a heavy rain." Now I'm going to pause straight away. Food was sparse in that time. So we're going to read later on that Elijah had prophesied already that there wouldn't be rain in the land. So, and then we journey through the story of Elijah, and there's people in famine and hungry, and the widow with the oil and the flour, and she's said, I'm going to die, we've got no food, it hasn't rained in ages. So then Elijah is telling the king to go eat and drink. And already that is a courageous thing to say, because, well, there's no food. So to say, eat, drink to a king, and that's a feast, that's, they don't do it lightly. That was already a him proclaiming and him taking authority. He's already speaking authoritative. It says, it will not rain. So Ahab went off to eat and drink. But Elijah climbed to the top of Mount Carmel, bent down to the ground, and put his face between his knees. Verse 43. Go look towards the sea, he told his servant. And he went up and looked. There is nothing, he said. Seven times Elijah said, go back. The seventh time the servant reported, a cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea. So Elijah said, go and tell Ahab, hitch up your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. Meanwhile, the skies grew black with clouds and the wind rose and a heavy rain started falling. And Ahab rode off to Jezreel. The power of the Lord came upon Elijah, and tucking his cloak into his belt, he ran ahead of Ahab all the way to Jezreel. 1 Kings 18. How amazing is that story, just to hear it? And I love that God's word can reveal itself to you, that I don't need to extract too much out of it. By reading God's word, God can speak to you, if you let him. But we've got some key points today that we want to pull out of this story. One is prayer, the second is purpose, and the third is faith. And the whole story is rich with each one of these key points. So prayer. At the beginning of 1 Kings 17, Elijah said there, it's not going to rain until I say it's going to rain. So that's it. Boom. Like that. Stopped raining. Didn't rain again for 3.5 years. Now, I love that. Fast forward 3.5 years. Elijah says, it's going to rain. Now, straight away, he is bold in that declaration of going. He's prophesying straight away. And I love that as we read through the book of 1 Kings, and you see so many prophecies, and you might miss it if you're not looking for it, of when he says, get ready, it's going to rain. Well, it hasn't rained for 3.5 years. Who are you to say it's going to rain? And not forgetting that Ahab wasn't coming in. He wasn't a God-fearing king at that time. You got to remember. So the fact that Elijah said it's going to rain, that was a prophecy. I love that after he prophesied, what's the first thing that he did? He backed it up with prayer. So after he's prophesied, straight away, you find him climbing to the top of the Mount Carmel, head between his knees in prayer. And I love that sometimes we can take authority into some stuff. We can prophesy into a situation, but do we back it up with prayer? Do we go to God, humble ourselves before God, and pray? Pray earnestly. It talks about how Elijah prayed earnestly to God. I love that. I feel challenged by this as well, that do I say my one prayer to God for a situation? Or if I want breakthrough, do I keep going back to God? I love persistent prayer, and we see so many times, and even journeying through the Old Testament, of persistent prayer, and there's outcome. I love that. It's a pattern. It's something that God honors, persistent prayer, and how fitting that we have an all-church prayer meeting coming up, that we have the opportunity to outwork that prayer. And I love, what is prayer? Prayer is just a conversation between you and God. I love that it doesn't have to be calculated or formulated or anything too fancy. I love that God gives us, he gives us prayers that he prayed. I love that. But we're teaching our youth at the moment that what is praying to God? It's not, you can picture him as being this God up here, but God's not only that, he's here next to you. I tell them as I'm sitting in my car, I look across passenger seat. I must look like a nutter. I must look like a fruitcake Christian. That I'm in my car and I'm talking away and I go, the people next to me, they don't know that I'm praying. They might think I'm just talking on my Bluetooth. But you know when sometimes you get into a bit of a prayer? You're like, oh God, my youth. I'm losing hair. It's stressing me out. And then you look and the person next to you's like, I can't hear the other person talking. Is it just me? Has anybody done that? I need to see some hands. Hands, boom, boom. Oh, it's not just me. I love it, Katie. I love it. Prayer doesn't have to be hard. It's a conversation. How did Elijah pray? I love that he prayed boldly, but humbly in posture. Now, Jade referred to this when she spoke at youth, that he prayed bold prayers, but he also humbled himself before God in posture. And in James 5, it refers to Elijah. It says, the prayers of a righteous person are powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain for the land for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed and the heavens gave rain and the earth produced its crops. I love that. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. And I love that we can see some of these absolute heroes in the Old Testament, these pillars of faith, these amazing men and women that have done these extraordinary things for God's kingdom. But they're just human, just like you and me. There was an anointing on them, yes. They were called by God, yes. But who knows that we live in that grace, that we're called by God. We're destined for something. God's put gifts, talents, and abilities in each and every single one of our lives. And is it something that, church, maybe you once knew that I'm called to be a prayer warrior. I'm called to this. I've got a purpose. God's given me these dreams. Has God ever given you a dream and you've now put it on the back shelf? Maybe that was for my youth days. That was for when I had energy or finance or... We can find every excuse under the sun, but sometimes we look at these amazing men and women and we go, oh, I wish I could do that. I wish I could be that. But God's not stopping you. And I love that we can go back to God and pray the prayers of God. Highlight to me, what are those things that you've put on my heart for me to outwork? That it doesn't have to be this, like, leading some crazy amount of people. Your ministry might be your work. You might be in the place where God called you, but you're not outworking that calling, maybe because you're not aware of it. So I love it. This segues so well into purpose. But first, we're going to hear from some of our leaders. And you're up first.
Nice. New shirt. Looking good, new shirt, new man. I was just asked to tell a bit of a story about something that happened throughout our youth. And it's so good that Alden's touched on that we've all got our gifts that God's put in our lives. And just over the last couple of years that I've been involved in the youth program, I've got 6 kids that I'm, you know, in contact with weekly and all that. And it's just such a blessing to be able to see every single one of them having their gifts and, you know, working on their gifts and, you know, expanding on their gifts and just, you know, growing in that. And we've got so many different kids. And like Alden said, each one of them have got their own gifts. Like there's one of my kids is just insanely, you know, in the Word of God at the moment. Like he's writing sermons for 5 years from now, pretty much, and it's putting me to shame, to be honest. Like it's keeping me on my toes. I need to, you know, it's really pushing me as well. And that's what's so amazing about these youth. You know, they're putting us on the stage as well. We got to keep on working and developing our gifts as well. And that's just so amazing. We've got kids that are smarter than, you know, I thought would be possible in a 13-year-old or 14-year-old, but they're just developing that, and they've got such a blessing on their life, and I can just see each one of them achieving their purpose in life, you know, just keep going on. And so if I can just encourage every single one of the youth just to keep going how they're going, the amount of the amount of road they've covered in the last year alone is just substantial. And if they keep going at this pace, they're going to be the leaders of tomorrow. And they're just going to, you know, if they use their gifts, our church is going to be bigger, and they're going to go outside in the world and just bring God's ministry to the world. And it just makes it so exciting. Yeah.
Awesome. So cool. Well, Eldon did really well introducing, and I'm not going to take up too much time. But the second point that we wanted to kind of draw out of Elijah that we loved hearing from our youth kids and our youth leaders over the last couple of weeks is purpose. And Elijah had a really clear purpose from God. He was called and purposed by God to bring the people back to him. Really clear. And I love that it was for God's kingdom, for God to reign and rule again. And in verse 43, Elijah sends a servant to go and look. So he actually acted upon his prayer and prophecy. He immediately said, he prayed, and then he actually acted upon that. And I actually believe he was also confident in his words. And my cool revelation, I guess you could say, that I got out of this, especially for me personally, and I know our team as well, but firstly, but I'll precursor it with, we are called to prophesy. And if you don't know what that means, then come and chat to us. But also, just in a nutshell, it's basically just we're filters from God. He speaks to us about things that are coming to the future, words of knowledge, words of encouragement, that sort of thing. And you speak that. And this is what Elijah did. He was prophesying of something that was about to happen. And I want to encourage you today, church, that he actually prophesied out of his purpose. So his purpose was to bring the people back to God. And he prophesied out of that purpose. So his prophecy was for it to rain. And when it rained, it was a declaration of who God was or is at that time. It was a declaration that God is true, he reigns, he was king, and he was the one that they needed to be drawn back to. And so I want to encourage you today, church, we're in a really unique time at the moment, not just with the building, but I really believe spiritually we're moving into a new season. And I believe that it's not just as a church body, but individually, God is, I really believe, agitating us a little bit, going, what do you want to do? What are those dreams that are in your heart? What are those things that I've put within you? What's your purpose? What's your call? And there's so many scriptures within the Word of God that gives us great purpose in what we're called to do. But each of us are given a unique a calling, a purpose, a destiny, whatever you want to put to it. And I really, really, really felt this week as I was praying, and even I know personally, that God's challenging me on dream again, to believe again. You know, and so Elijah only saw a small, or actually not Elijah, his servant only saw a cloud the size of a man's hand, which is not very big. And immediately he just said, nah, the rains are coming. And I don't know about you, but maybe you haven't even seen your cloud. Maybe you need to see your cloud. But I just want to encourage you, regardless of where you're at in your journey, that your purpose comes from God and that he has a clear purpose for you. And I want to encourage you to believe again. To actually go to God, believe again, and then start prophesying out of that purpose into your family, into your own life, into your work, into whatever that is. And I like how Eldon did touch that your work is your ministry. And I think Eldon is a great example of this, and to make it, I guess, relevant. wherever you find yourself, I know that Eldon doesn't have a huge passion and desire to put blinds and curtains in people's homes. I don't think that's quite what, you know, in his mind's eye, he kind of was like, God's like, do this. But within that, the people he comes across and the conversations he has with his, you know, co-workers and bosses and clients that he comes across is incredible and would never have happened if he wasn't there. And so when you're actually open to God's voice and his leading and his guiding, and I know that one day all of those conversations and all of those, all the days that he works doing blinds, curtains and awnings, if you need anything, there you go, there's a sale for you. But that God's actually called you and has given you a purpose wherever you find yourself. So whether you without a shadow of a doubt, know that you're called to be a mum. Whether you're without a shadow of a doubt, you know you're called to business. Or maybe you actually don't know. And I really want to spend time at the end of the service today, if you're willing, to just, we'll have our team and a few of the leaders. We'd love to pray for you. And actually, you may not get the answer straight away. It might have to be a little journey you go on with God over the next few months about what has he put within you, what gifts, what desires, what dreams has he put within you so that you know your purpose, so that you can then prophesy out of that and into your purpose. I will finish with this. Romans 12:2 says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing and perfect will. And it's no mistake that Jade read Jeremiah earlier today. And our scripture for youth this year has been Matthew 5:14. And we've been reading the Message version. And I want to read this to you because this is powerful. It says, let me tell you why you're here. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness and will end up in the garbage. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. And now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. And if you start anywhere this morning when you go home and you're pondering, that scripture in itself, if you just start there, Be open. Be generous. Be the light. Be the God color in this world. If you just start there and allow God to work on you and speak to you and start to give you those dreams and hopes and desires all over again and not limit God. I love Fraser's prayer this morning that we have unlimited access to the God in heaven who created the heavens and the earth. How can he not have the best plans for you? How cool is that? God's awesome. JD, I'm going to get you to come and share a quick story. And then after Jade, Cloudy.
That was a good segue, all about prophecy. And who knows that reading that when it's on the page, it's all nice and sounds fancy, but then when you're actually trying to do it and you're trying to live it out, it's a different story. But I just had a little testimony that I wanted to share. It was from camp. And I'd driven up later than the team, and I was driving, and I was believing that God was going to do amazing things, and God was going to speak to the youth. But also, like everyone, we're all human. I'm worrying about my own things in my head. And in hindsight, and admittedly, it's silly things that don't need to worry about. But this is just a testimony of how good God is and how much he cares about the things that we worry about and stress about. Even though it doesn't worry and stress God, he cares that it worries and stresses us. So we were on youth camp, and Katie's cousin, Josh, came from Adelaide to bring the word to us, and we were just standing there, and he had shared an awesome word, and we were in the time of worship, and I just felt prompted to go over to one of my youth and share a word with her. And it was actually a song lyric, and it was, I don't know if anyone's heard it, it's called God Doesn't, what is the song called? God Doesn't Miss a Thing? No. You don't miss a thing. It's a beautiful song. Listen to it. And one of the lyrics is, in a crowd of 10,000, God doesn't miss a thing. And my word to her was just that sometimes we feel like there's all these people in the room. Why is God listening to me? Like, why is what I'm worrying about important? So I just shared a little bit of a word with her, didn't think anything of it. And then Josh called me up to the front. And as always, God does this to me quite often. He gave me a word and encouragement and prayed over me. And then that thing that I was worrying about driving there, he just stopped in his tracks of what he was saying. And he just started prophesying. No one will understand, I guess, except me and God. But the words that he chose to use and the prophecy that he gave me was everything that I was thinking in my head. And it only all came together 2 weeks down the track when we had our breakout night and I was asking the kids, if you ever had that moment where you're like, oh my gosh, like that is exactly what I was thinking. Like you just took that out of my head and just spoke it. I was just asking them if they've ever had that moment that they've just been overwhelmed. And the girl that I went over to, one of our youth that I went over to, she shared how much she was thinking exactly that in her head when I came over to say to her. And I was just thinking, how cool is that? Like, I'm a youth leader. Like, I'm meant to be imparting, you know. And it's just the cycle of obedience. I stepped out and gave her moment that was just a channel for God. And then God gave back. And it was just, afterwards, I was just like, wow. Like, I stepped out. I was obedient. And then Josh was obedient. And it was just the most amazing picture of just how much God cares. And how much he wants to speak to us. So, yeah. Cloudy.
Sorry. I just wanted to share about... actually, you know what? How good is the service? Come on, guys. You're going quiet. I'm sorry. Everyone's just like... I just see these faces. Everyone's like... Oh. Come on, guys. No, I just wanted to share a little bit about youth. And one thing that's really stuck out to me has been I've loved just being on the journey where they make that first decision to accept God into their life. And I was thinking about when I made that decision, and I actually didn't make it once. I made it twice and three times. And some of you might... You may have made that decision years ago. And the thing that really surprises me is that God tugs on your heart and has tugged on their hearts. And 2, 3, 4 weeks ago, God was tugging on our youth's heart and at camp. And I want to encourage you today that if God is tugging on your heart, if you need to come forward and say, you know what, yeah, I actually need to make that decision again because I've walked away. I've kind of taken a few steps the other way. I want to make you the center again. If you feel that tug, when Katie gives time later, come forward because it is so worth it. And to see the way our youth have grown and changed, and it's amazing. It's so worth it. And we all stand testimony to that. So don't leave without making that decision. If God's tugging on your heart, I want to see you here. Okay. Loza?
Hello. Frank Walker, anyway. So, don't mind me. So this is my first year being a youth leader at Compass, and I can tell you, far out, you guys, you have grown so much in such a short time, and it's been such a pleasure to be a part of your journey or contribute in some small way. And it's funny because, as Jade said, like, as leaders, we're trying to teach you stuff, but I'm learning so much from all of you, and that's really cool because I like learning things. So... the thing that really stuck out to me this year is how our youth have changed in their worship. So at the start of the year, we all prayed about like what we were hoping for youth this year. And I hadn't gone to a youth session yet. And I get visions sometimes. And they're from God. And and it was all the youth praying and just being all open arms out in worship. And it was pretty exciting. And I didn't know what to expect. First youth night, you know, it was a bit of this, maybe a little bit of this, but as we were going through, going up to camp, it was amazing, you know, like just seeing everyone just arms stretched out wide. And I think the specific point, it was actually in the little video we had there, when we're singing Look to the Sun, all the kids were just jumping for joy, and my heart was so full because it was so nice just to see that change. And even there were kids who couldn't come to camp, and there was still change in them as well. And it was cool. God works everywhere and anywhere. You don't have to be in a certain place for God to work in you. And it's cool because, like, just seeing that change, and after camp as well, just that growth, it's just phenomenal to be a part of that. And, you know, I encourage you to keep tapping into God and just keep your heart open for Him. And, yeah, I'm excited for next year and the year after that. And, yeah, it's cool. Thanks, guys.
How amazing is that, church? How incredible those testimonies are. And I tell you what, we could speak all morning just on what we've seen take place in our youth and in our leadership team. And I want to thank our leadership team as well for the incredible time, effort, energy, their hearts. They put everything into youth, into your children. So we just thank you so much, leaders. We love you. Yeah, put your hands together for them. They are truly incredible. Now, I love the last part of a larger story that we just want to pull something out of is his faith. Elijah was a man of faith. And I love that you can see it so clearly. Oh, look at this. I've got dual iPads cranking here. I feel like a boss. Cheers. I love it. I love that it has... He has so much faith. It talks about how the servant went back 7 times. So he prophesied, he prayed, he had faith. He said to his servant, go and see if there's clouds. And that's having faith. You're sending somebody to go look for the clouds. And when he comes back, he's like, hey, Eli, there's no clouds. 7 times he sent him back. Do you reckon after the 5th and 6th time, he was just like, hey, Eli, still no clouds. He still had faith. He's like, I said it, God's in it. Go back again. And I love, he comes back, he's like, there's a cloud about this big. And what faith? Eli's like, great, perfect, rain's on its way. How incredible is that? If you saw a cloud the size of a man's hand in the sky, would you just go tell the king that wants to kill you, hey, it's just about to rain and flood, and if you don't leave now, you're going to get flooded and washed away in your chariot? Do you have that kind of faith? Do you have faith that confuses people? I challenge you, church. Does your faith confuse people? Are you so faithful, like when we say, we're going to get a building? Do we have the finance? Do we have all the resources? Do we have 100 tradies in our church to rip and do everything and all the rest of it? Michael's 9.5 tradies. Maybe 7. But we had faith, church. Does your faith confuse people? Do you speak into situations? Do you say, no, I'm going to have breakthrough in this area. I'm going to have faith in this. I challenge you, church. Do you have faith that confuses people? And we should. We should live by faith. I love it. I love it. The report was small. Seemed like nothing, but Elijah, with the faith he had, he knew the rain was on its way. He was bold. Does your faith prove God's faithfulness and existence? That's a challenge as well. I love that in his faith, it was showcasing God's existence, how God can come through. God is faithful to our prayers, to what he's called us to. He's more in it than we are, believe it or not. When he calls us to something, he's not like, go do that now. I'm over here doing this little thing over here. God's with you. Like I said, when you pray to him, he's with you. So why, if he calls you to something, why would he leave you? He doesn't. So I encourage you, church, that as you pray big prayers, as you pray bold prayers, humbly, seeking out your purpose, your calling, the gifts God's given you, to activate and outwork them with faith. So I pray this morning that if there is something that we've said, something that we might have touched on that's relevant for you in the place you're at, if you're in need of one of those areas, I encourage you, church, that we are going to have a time of prayer. And our leaders are amazing. And we'd like to think that we're open to God speaking to us, to speak through us. So I encourage you, if you're in one of those places this morning, that as we just have this time, that you'd be honest with yourself, you'd be open with yourself, with God, to go, maybe, yeah, I'm gonna step it up in my prayer. I'm going to tap into God a little bit more. I'm going to seek out my purpose. I'm going to have faith that confuses people. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for what today's been. We thank you, God, that you are here. Holy Spirit, that you guide, you lead, you call, you answer. Lord, that you are more into us than we could ever know or experience or understand. We love that you want us to succeed and flourish in everything that we do. So this morning, God, we pray that we would hear from you. You'd hear our prayers. You'd call us. You'd give us purpose, God. And Lord, our faith would increase, that we'd be challenged, God, to dream bigger, to have faith for those things we might not yet see. Be with us on this amazing day, God. Be with us this week. In your beautiful name, Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.